Okay, that sounds working okay. Just bear with me. Obviously, it's not as easy to do the sound desk and speak at the same time. So. And on top of all that, I was getting my tablet ready and Windows decided to install updates. So it's literally appeared on the screen as I put it down there. So, what I'm going to be talking about this morning is about Jacob when he wrestles with the man through the night. Story may be familiar to a lot of you. I dare say most people at least heard of the story. And it raises the question, first of all, for me, is who would like a blessing this morning? Yeah, that's good. That's at least half a dozen. Good. I hope that you're looking for a blessing this morning, because essentially that's why we come here. That's why we gather together, because we want to bless each other and we want to receive a blessing from God. But this passage has always intrigued me because of the interaction between Jacob and all it says in the scripture is the man. So the guess would be maybe it's an angel, maybe you have a different view, but only refers to it as a man. And however, when you look in a bit deeper, there's a bit more to it. But essentially, what this story is about Jacob receiving a blessing because he persisted in asking for it. Right? He didn't just I fancy a blessing and then wait for it to happen at some time. He fought for it. And it's a kind of strange concept to, effectively demand a blessing from God. And so I thought I would look at that a bit deeper. And actually, two things that I had in mind to speak about this morning, but at the encounter last week, Paula had read part of that verse out, spoke about it, and I thought that confirms that that's what I'm going to speak about on Sunday. So that was a blessing for me, Paula, for that confirmation. The other part of that blessing is, if this goes well, and you think, well, I really got a blessing this morning, then I'm glad to have delivered that to you. If you think I'm talking a lot of rubbish, well, it was Paula that encouraged me to talk about it. So, just a wee bit of background. Jacob, at this point, this is when he's returning to the land of his brother Esau after being away so long, and he gets all his servants, he gets all his cattle, his flocks, sends them all ahead to meet his brother first to bless him in the hope that he'll basically smack him about a bit when he reaches him. And at this point what's happened is they've reached a river and he's decided he's going to send his servants, his livestock and his family across the river. And that will leave him on his own. So he then, just give me a bit, since I can't adjust it at the desk. Okay, is that a bit better? It's a wee bit echoey. So you say he sent everything across the river, he's on his own, and that's when he goes and he heads up onto the hill to spend the night on his own, and that's where we pick the story up. So we're going to read in Genesis chapter 32, and it's verses 24 to 32. I'm reading a slightly different version here, because I think, is that NIV? Yeah, it's NIV, yeah. So this is New American Standard. It says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so that the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated." Excuse me, the app just closed itself. Tell you what, I'll read for the screen just while that's loading itself again. So when this man saw it, he could not overpower him, touched the socket of Jim's hip so that he was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. So, if we go back to verse 24, it says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak." And it was, it just says, a man. So the word just means like a nondescript male person is the definition. So it doesn't tell you anything other than it was a man. That's all we know. It also tells us that he wrestled with him. And it's the word means float away, make dusty, or grapple. It was the word grapple that really stepped out, because it was like wrestling over a decision. Something that I'm quite familiar with is quite often when I'm in, maybe in a meeting, so I say in here, a prayer meeting, something like that, a house group, and sometimes I'm sitting and I feel as though God's saying something to me, or a verse pops into my head, and I'm hesitant about saying it because I'm like, is this the right thing to do? Is it no right thing to do? So it's that kind of grappling. And quite often what happens is if I do that too long, somebody else ends up sharing the same thing. And it tells me that I was right to share that, but I spent too much time grappling with it. So there's that element of it that we often hesitate about things. But on the other hand, it's also about seizing the opportunity. That's also the kind of meaning of that situation, that if you feel something is right, maybe you need to seize the moment. Carpe diem in Latin. It's the only Latin phrase I know, so I use it a lot. You look at Jacob's name, because obviously his names are very important in this piece of scripture. And Jacob's name means the heel catcher. You remember when he was born, Esau was about to come out of his mother's womb, and Jacob grabbed his ankle and hauled him back in, and he was born first. So that's why he was named Jacob, because he's a heel catcher. So he's kind of been a wrestler all his life. He's wrestled with various things in his life, and now he's wrestling with God. But did he know who he was wrestling with? And I wondered, why wrestle? The fact that he was asking for a blessing would indicate that he knew that this was not just an ordinary man, but this was somehow a messenger from God. Then in verse 25, when it says that he saw he'd not prevailed, the man saw that Jacob had not prevailed, and he touched him in the socket of his thigh. Then Jacob at that point discerned and recognized that he had not prevailed. He could see that he hadn't prevailed, and therefore the man touched him in order to end the wrestling, touched him in the socket of his hip. And it's the Hebrew in it is, it talks about a strike with the hollow of the hand causing an injury to the hip. So it's an injury or a manipulation. I was thinking about, any Star Trek fans? Few? Yeah, Mark, yeah. So you remember Spock, he's wee nipping the shoulder and the person passes it, So I was actually thinking that kind of thing. So not a, it wasn't like an attack, it wasn't a hit, it was a touch. Just into his hip, and it caused his hip to dislocate. And it's actually ironic that the last 2 weeks I've done something in my back. I think it was too much exercising and holiday. But I've done something in my back and it's been quite sore and it keeps tweaking. That's why I'm sitting in the chair, because if I stand still, it hurts. And I thought, isn't it ironic that I was speaking about this and then for some unknown reason, what, is it a blessing? Well, we'll come to that. Hold that thought. I thought, so ironic, I'm up here talking about this and end up with a sore back this week. So I thought, right, what's God saying about that? What do we need to learn through that? So we started to think about the fact that, you know, what Jacob's response might have been to that dislocation. What did it mean to him? Does that happen to him in order that he would reflect on the things that he'd been doing? You know, sometimes when things happen to us and we complain about it, and then we realise that actually the thing that's happening to us is something that we ourselves have done. Very much as Jesus said, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And quite often we miss that. If you think, you know, you contact someone you've not spoken to for a while, and you say, Margaret and I were talking about this the other day, you know, and they say, oh, you've not spoken to me for ages, I've not heard from you for ages, or it's ages since I've seen you. But it's two-way. You know, people say that, but then they don't recognise that they could have phoned, that they could have visited. Like, it's always seen as one way. So sometimes when things happen in our lives, we think it's things that are happening to us, but maybe we need to look at that and see, is that because, or not because of, but am I doing that as well? Because sometimes when things happen, it makes you realise that actually you're doing that as well. So we need to address that. In verse 26, he says, let me go, for dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So that refusal to let him go without a blessing, that tenacity to say, no, I'm not moving on until I get a blessing. And it reminded me of when, after the project in Romania, and I was getting quite involved in it, and then there was, not going into that story, but there was something that happened that then sort of cut me off from the project. And for a while after that, it was really difficult. I just felt almost kind of lost. Felt I didn't really have a calling. I didn't really know why I was here. What was it to do? And I struggled with that for a few years. But I persisted with it. I kept going to God, and sometimes I went to God with a good old grumble to say, this is dragging on and on. I still don't feel that I know what I'm meant to do. I still feel that there's that gap there that's not being filled. And eventually what God revealed to me was that I wasn't recognizing who I was. I was looking for somebody that I was to be. But actual fact, God's saying to me, but you're already that person, you're just not recognizing it. And maybe that's why the man asked Jacob with his name. I'm pretty sure if this was a messenger from God, he's going to know who Jacob was. So why did he ask him what his name was? And it was because Jacob had to declare who he was. And sometimes we need to declare who we are. And at that point, for me, I had to declare who I was. Before that, I never particularly saw myself as a leader. I saw myself more as a follower or a facilitator to help other people, but I never saw myself as a leader. And I just felt that's what God was saying to me, that I had to recognise. I had to recognise that I was a leader. And it's that recognition. So in this instance, Jacob was asked to state his name in order to recognise who he was. So when he said his name was Jacob, then that was that recognition. That was him stating who he was, recognizing who he was. And he had to do that in order that things could move forward. In verse 28, he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. So after having made that admission, his name was actually changed. So interestingly, when he actually recognized who he was, God then changed his name. So God then changed who he was and said that he was going to then give him the blessing that he'd always intended for him. So that was an important step for Jacob to recognize himself for who he was and then accept that, and then God brought in the blessing. So if we want that blessing, that's what we need to do. We need to recognize who we are. Not who we want to be or who we think we should be, but who we are in God. And once we recognize that, and once we accept that, we're then opening ourselves up to that blessing. But we have to persevere with that. It won't just come to us. Sometimes God wants us to pursue the blessing that he has for us. In verses 29 to 30, when Jacob's talking about asking the man what his name is, and the man's response is, why is it that you ask my name? And then he named the place Peniel, because he says, I've seen the face of God. So what we see there is that Jacob recognized that this man was from God. Why didn't the man give his name? Well, maybe his name was not important. It was Jacob's name that was important, because it was Jacob had to recognize himself. He didn't have to recognize the messenger. And the man was just a messenger, so he wasn't important in the process. What was important was that Jacob recognized he had to accept himself in order to get that blessing from God. And it's interesting that he says he has seen God face to face. Now this man's nondescript, so there's nothing that indicates what this man is like. A lot of people say, interpret it as being a vision, that he had a vision or a dream, but there's nothing there to indicate that. And elsewhere in scripture, when somebody has a vision or a dream, it says it's a vision or a dream. So if you take that piece of scripture at face value, we're talking about an actual man that has appeared to him, a physical man. And so Jacob has recognized that, and that's why he named that place Peniel, because he recognized that he had seen God face to face. In verse 31, it says, now the sun rose upon him as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. And when it says the sun rose, it's talking about brilliance. So kind of wording means that he was shining, there was a warm glow. So it's that sense, obviously, of God's presence. When we were on holiday a few weeks ago, it was really hot, but because it's an island, we were in Tenerife, because it's an island and you tend to get a breeze, although it didn't feel much of a breeze, when you're in the shade, it's nowhere near as hot, but as soon as you step out of the shade into the sun, you just feel the blast of heat as you do that. And that's, in some ways, what Jacob was going through there. He was stepping, through that recognition of who he was. He was stepping out of the shadows. He was stepping into who he was and accepting it. And he felt that presence of God. In the same way that you're in the shade, you step out into a strong sun, you suddenly just feel that blast of heat on you. And you know, he just knew that God's presence was there, so therefore that man must have been from God. When it says that he crossed over, I thought that was an interesting way to put it as well. So it says he crossed over Peniel, not he walked past it or walked through it or went around it or went to it, but he crossed over. And crossing over really talks of transition. So at that point where it says that he made a transition, so he transitioned from Jacob to Israel because of that experience with God. But when it then goes on to say that he limped, I thought that was almost contradictory, that, you know, when you limp, if you're limping, then you can't walk in a straight line. You tend to kind of wander or drift off to the one side. And I thought, so what does that mean? Does that get any significance? And I don't know. I never get an answer to that. So if MD thinks they know what that was about, you know, why did it specifically mention his limp as he was going through that transition? They'd be interested to hear your thoughts. The only thing that crossed my mind is maybe we just talked about that being drawn, that maybe he was drawn, so there he was walking, it wasn't, he wasn't totally choosing where to go, but he was being drawn by an outside influence, maybe not. So I'll leave you to ponder that one. Then we finish off in verse 32, where he says, therefore, to this day, the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because that's where the man touched Jacob, in the sinew of the hip. And I looked in, well, what's the sinew, the hip, what does that actually mean? And the opinion seems to be it's referring to the sciatic nerve. So if anybody's ever suffered from sciatica, I haven't, but I did have a trapped nerve just above the sciatic nerve, and it was basically the same sort of feel. You'll know how painful that is, you know, and that was... the thing that was the sinew of the hip actually refers to the sciatic nerve. So why you do that to him? What was the purpose of that? Is it so he would understand pain? Is it so that he would have something to remember, remind himself of that experience? Is it a sign to just to keep in mind that transition that he's went through? I don't know, but sometimes it is when we go through a transition with God and it's significant, there'll be something that always reminds us of it. And that's the key thing, you need to remember what you've went through to know where you're going. So where that leaves us is, as I said at the beginning, who's up for a blessing? You know, who would want a blessing? Clearly, Jacob wanted a blessing, but he didn't just ask for it and then wait for it to happen. Right? He fought for it. He wrestled for it. So my question is, how much do you desire that blessing? What are you willing to do to get that blessing? Okay, so option A is that I get you to wrestle with the person next to you, and the winner gets a blessing. But I thought maybe better to go for option B. And option B is that when I come to close in prayer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for blessing. And I'm going to, at one point, I'll indicate to you that that's the point I'm at, but I'm going to say, Lord, I ask you to bless. Right? And I want you to say that line with me. But at the end of it, I want you to say your own name. So I'll say, and nobody say, Lord, I want you to bless, say your own name. Right? Because I've had that before. So I'm going to say, Lord, I want you to bless Tom. And then I'll only say, Lord, I want you to bless Alan, and so on. Okay? So we're going to say that line together. And then I want you to fight for that blessing. So see this week, I want you to keep that in your mind and actually look for that blessing. Keep asking God where that blessing is. I know what I'm going to be asking for the next Sunday. My back's going to be better. But, you know, so although we're just going to say that sentence together, but what I want you to take away from this morning is that you've asked for that blessing, but if need be, you're going to fight for it. Right? So the first thing to do in order to fight for it is to keep asking for it. Because Jacob fought for it all night. So as you go through this week, keep that in your mind and keep asking for that blessing until you get it. And don't give up. Okay? So I'm just going to pray. And when I say now, That's when I'm going to start that sentence, okay? So you know. Father, we thank you for all that you give us. The fact that you do give us our daily bread, that you tell us you will feed our hunger and satisfy our thirst. And Lord, we recognize blessings in our lives all the time, whether it's, you know, the job that we're in, whether it's where we live, it's our family, it's friendship, whatever it is, Father, we can look around, we can see many blessings. But Lord, there are times when we look to you for a blessing that will transition our lives. And that's what we ask for now, as Jacob wrestled with that man until he got his blessing. Lord, we want to wrestle with you this week until we get a blessing from you, to show how strong our desire is to be blessed by you. And so, Lord, we come now to ask, Lord, I ask a blessing for Tom. And so, Father, as we have asked that blessing, Lord, help us to be as tenacious as Jacob, not to give up looking for that, not to walk away from here and forget what we spoke about this morning. But Lord, this week, I just pray that we would wrestle until we receive your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Lord bless you, Tom. Thank you. I hope that is something that just resonates with you this morning.